So thank you for braving the cold and coming out here this morning to hear about these marvelous deeds that are performed in the gospel, but also really in all the readings that we have today. I want to tell you a little bit about my mother-in-law, rest her soul. Lois was disabled. She had rheumatoid arthritis, and it progressed over time where, more and more she was limited in what she could do. But her husband, my father-in-law, Don, was her caregiver. And they worked things out. But suddenly, one day, Don passed away unexpectedly. And Lois obviously felt helpless, lost, and abandoned. She didn't know what to do. How was she going to make it work? How was she going to stay in her home? She was angry with God, as you might expect, but she still kept talking to him, which is a good sign. But this isn't the way it was supposed to happen, right? She was the one with the health issues. She was supposed to go first. Don was in what they thought was good health. But as we know, things happen. So in her emptiness and feeling abandoned and lost, at the funeral, people come up, as we usually do, and say, hey, if there's anything I can do, let me know. Well, she handed them an index card and said, make sure I have your phone number, your contact information, and maybe give me an idea of what you can do, and I'll reach out to you. And she did. She contacted people when she needed help with something. Neighbors came over or called and said, I'm really sorry about what happened. If there's anything I can do, let me know. And she said, well, I need somebody to cut my lawn. I need somebody to shovel my sidewalk in the winter. And people stepped forward. If people couldn't do those things on their own, usually they had some referral. So she had a good handyman who would come over, and if something broke or needed fixing, the handyman would come over and do that, and had somebody come and clean her house. This isn't something that this woman did as a business, but she said, I like cleaning houses, so I'd like to find that person. I like cleaning houses, so I'll do this for you. Lois, incidentally, had... she was angry with God, but she kept praying to Mary. She thought Mary, with her mother and her wife's heart, would be a good person to talk to. And incidentally, a couple of the women who came over to help were named Mary. So who knows? So she prayed, and God brought these people into her life. He gave her courage. He revived her courage to reach out and pick up the phone and to reach out to people and ask for help. In today's readings, we have these joyous images of God's abundant love, compassion, and care. We have these images of God's kingdom, which is unfolding before us and is awaiting us at the end of the age. A kingdom of love and care and compassion and abundant goodness. God does marvelous deeds, as we heard in the psalm, and he does those deeds for us, but also through us. The wedding feast at Cana, Jesus is doing more than just fixing a problem. He's not just doing a good deed for family friends when they run out of wine. John calls the miracles signs. And these miracles, these signs, as all signs do, point to something bigger, something different. So when Mary brings the problem to Jesus as a sign of her love and compassion for the couple and their families, she doesn't know what Jesus is going to do. She just trusts in his love and compassion. Jesus seems to hesitate. He says that strange line, woman, what is this concern of mine? My hour has not yet come. That term woman is not a disrespectful term. It's a term of honor and respect. We'll hear it again at the cross when Jesus says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son, the beloved disciple." And he says to the disciple, "Behold your mother." We hear that term woman in Genesis, where God creates woman, and we have this image of the woman who will crush the head of Satan and conquer evil. And Jesus' hour is his passion and death that is to come. And Jesus knows that this public display of divine power will start that clock ticking toward that hour. And Mary knows this too. Understand, she's had 30 years or more to ponder what this life of her son is going to lead to. So Jesus is in essence saying, "My dear mother, do you understand what you're asking me to do, to start this clock ticking toward my hour?" And Mary's actions, as in the past, say yes. And she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." The stone jars there for ceremonial washings are representative of the old covenant, of the laws and all these rituals. And Jesus transforms those rituals into something new, something abundant, when those jars are filled to the brim and he changes that water into wine. This is a sign of the kingdom, of the abundance of God's love and compassion, and the abundance of this kingdom that is unfolding before us and will be there for us at the end of time. We hear about that from the prophet Isaiah in our first reading. He talks about God's abundant love and care for us, about going from desolation to delight, about image of God marrying his people, of having that unconditional love and care for his people. So Jesus also then reveals his glory, as we hear at the end of the gospel. And that's what this sign is pointing to, that Jesus is something more than a prophet and a teacher. He is God's son. And people starting with the disciples, start to get this image. They understand who Jesus is, and we hear that they start to believe in him. So God does marvelous deeds indeed. But what does this mean for us? Well, if we peel back those layers in the gospel, we see that Mary brings the need to Jesus. So that tells us that we need to pray. We need to bring our emptiness and our abandonment and our limitations to Jesus. No, she doesn't tell him what to do. She doesn't say, "Hey, go make some wine." She just presents the problem. They have no wine. And she trusts that Jesus will know what to do in his own time and in his own way. My mother-in-law felt helpless, lost, empty, and abandoned. She had no wine. But she brought her emptiness to God. And like in the gospel, God responded. We can present our needs, our emptiness, and our limitations to God. We can present those situations where we're powerless and helpless, and we don't know how to handle them on our own. We don't need to tell God what to do. Sometimes we really like to do that, don't we? We like to tell God what we want. But we can simply present those situations where we don't know what to do. My friend is sick and dying of cancer. I feel lost. I don't know what to do. What are you calling me to do? The second step that we get from the gospel is to listen. To listen for Jesus' response. Oh, my mother-in-law took phone numbers. That's what she heard She knew that she could do. Mary told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And they listened. That may not have made sense to them, right? Sometimes we hear something and say, that doesn't make sense. I can imagine the servants saying, "Oh, wait, okay, we'll fill these jars, but how is that going to solve the problem?" But they listened. The third thing, then, is to act. The servants did what Jesus told them to do. They filled the jars with water. They cooperated with Jesus in performing this miracle. And sometimes that's what we're called to do. We're called to act and simply to cooperate with what God is doing and to help provide that abundance for someone or even for ourselves. Lois, my mother-in-law, acted. She made calls. She asked for help. And she formed new relationships because of that. Relationships where people could help her and brought situations that were even, you know, more abundant than she could even imagine. The servants filled those water jars. They helped make things happen. We hear in the second reading from Paul that we all have gifts and that God calls us out to use those gifts. So that can be the action that we're called to do. What gifts do we have? Maybe at the moment it's the gift of compassion, and you can, maybe you can't heal your friend of cancer, but you can call them and reach out and find out how they're doing. Maybe you do have the gift of mighty deeds. Maybe you can go to somebody's house and fix something for them. If there are any good plumbers out there, by the way, you know, let me know. I could use those kind of mighty deeds myself. So we act on what God is telling us to do. We don't always get clear answers. God doesn't always, you know, Jesus doesn't always send us a text message telling us exactly what to do. But somebody might send us a text message and might give us an idea of what to do. Jesus may not bump into us at the grocery store, but we may run into a friend, and we may renew some old friendship because of that. And the fourth thing, then, is to let God do the rest. Mary presented the problem. She trusted in Jesus. The servants listened and did what he asked them to do, and he did the rest. And we hear that there was an abundant amount of fine, exquisite wine, 120 to 180 gallons worth for the rest of that wedding feast. I imagine people were finding their wineskins and maybe taking some home with them, you know, and maybe sharing it with their family and friends back home. So, a challenge or an action for us to do this week. What's one thing that's weighing on your heart? It could be something that's going on in the world. It could be something going on in your life or the life of a loved one. Bring that thing, that situation that where you feel helpless and limited, bring that to God. Don't tell him what to do. Just present that issue. We have no wine. I have no job. My friend is suffering. And then listen. Listen for that quiet whisper. Or maybe it's a smack upside the head or a push from behind for you to do something. What is Jesus telling you to do? And then act. Even if it seems strange or it doesn't make sense or it isn't clear, take a step in the direction that you discern Jesus is pushing you into. And use your gifts. What are your gifts at that moment? What are the gifts that you have, those God-given gifts? And put them to use. Fill those empty jars with water. And then see what happens. Let God do the rest. Let God do the transformation of that situation and the transformation of your heart. God indeed does marvelous deeds for us. God wants to transform us and the world from desolation to delight, from despair to hope, from emptiness to abundance, from water into wine.